Hello, friends. This is a continuation of Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries. We're kind of going page by page. We're in this difficult subject of the creative hierarchies. Second time around, you know, the creative hierarchies are more beautiful the second time around. I have, you know, something like 10 programs on these hierarchies with associated thought links back in the early days of the Esoteric Astrology Adventures from, I think, program number 14 through program number 24. In those days, I was just doing one program at a time, but later I started to double up and do AB, ABC, ABCD, ABCD, etc. So now I'm seeing what comes to me now after having read the entire book, Esoteric Astrology, very carefully for commentary, and working through Cosmic Fire, because this is the end of the Cosmic Fire commentaries, most of which are written, about 1,194 pages covered in written commentary. So this is verbal, audio, verbal, video commentary. And we're dealing with the second creative hierarchy. It seems to distribute life throughout the solar system. I mean, I think I should just, you know, maybe read what it says about it. Just read it as a whole, rather than with interference of my own commentary. There's not too much to read. This second hierarchy is closely allied with the Great Bear. We are told that they entered through the second well, I'm not going to be recording over there, I guess. I thought I had this all taken care of, but maybe not. We are told that they entered through the second ventricle within the sacred heart and are, as we are told in the secret doctrine, the prototypes of the monads. They are the source of monadic life, but they are not the monads. They are far higher. And yet they are monads themselves. Well, I shouldn't insert commentary. I just said I'm going to read. The hierarchy, this hierarchy, which is literally the seventh, is the influx into our system of those lives who in the first solar system remained on their own plane, being too sinless and holy to find opportunity in that very material and intellectual evolution. Even in this, they will find it impossible to do more than influence the incarnating jivas, imparting to them ability to realize the nature of group consciousness, the quality of the seven heavenly men, but not being able to express themselves fully. Some clue to this mystery will come if the student carefully bears in mind that in our solar system and our seven planes, we have only the physical body of the Logos, and that that physical body is the limitation of the expression of his threefold nature. The first, i.e. sixth, hierarchy might be viewed as endeavoring to express the mental vibration of the solar Logos. Okay, his emotional or cosmic, and the second, his emotional cosmic astral, gives me an idea about this hierarchy representing the mental body of the solar Logos and that which ensouls it. The second or seventh hierarchy has for its type of force the second aspect of the seventh type of force from out the many. Some idea of the relative point in evolution of the solar Logos may be gained by study of the varying aspects of force which he is demonstrating in this particular incarnation. It is this energy which drives the monads into physical incarnation, for it makes itself felt on the seventh plane. The energies which are functioning are those which the Logos has unfolded and are the gain of previous incarnations. Gaps necessarily occur, and certain types of force are lacking because he has as yet much cosmically to gain. It is the energy of this hierarchy, whose numbers are 2 and 7, which results in the manifestation of the divine androgene and in the seven centers of force, which are the seven spiritual energies. Okay. Well, you know, one wants to, what does one want to do here? One wants to look back here a little bit, still, you know, continuing just a little. The first or sixth hierarchy might be viewed as endeavoring to express the mental vibration of the solar logos. If, and you know, this is like obvious, but if it endeavors to express the mental vibration of the solar logos, it is not the solar logos itself, nor are the fellow members of this first creative hierarchy, solar logoi, because the being who ensouls the mental body of the solar logos is even higher than these than the members of this creative hierarchy. Now, what beings? Well, I suppose it would be the. It would all depend on the degree of evolution of the solar logos, but and souls will make this right. But there are beings that ensouled each one of our vehicles. They are actually lunar beings. For a solar logos, what would they be? There would be some very high correspondence to these lunar beings. Or we could consider it the solar logos as he manifests in the mental field. So the members of the second hierarchy, of the first hierarchy, try to express the vibration of the solar logos as he manifests in the mental field. That is their particular function. And as he manifests in the astral field, and has another type of higher correspondence to the lunar lords ensouling his cosmic astral body, the members of the second hierarchy try to express on the cosmic physical plane that particular type of solar logoic vibration. I think this is a very big hint, and it basically tells us what all this tells us what all this tells us is that these creative hierarchies are agents of the solar logos and also of the planetary logoi. They are not themselves. I look for those fine points of discrimination which will somehow clarify the status of these creative hierarchies that are much influenced by the second circle of petals in the solar logoic causal body. Now, if they're much influenced by that, they cannot be the solar logos itself, and they cannot be the planetary logos itself. I keep on trying to convince myself of this, because there are certain connections which between the solar logoi and the these hierarchies. Just looking back just a little bit, it's the seventh. They remained on their own high plane. What was that plane? Was it as high? As their present plane? Or was it perhaps two planes lower? The number five is very important in the previous solar system. You kind of wonder, were there seven planes? Were there five, mainly? It just as in this solar system there are seven, will there be nine in the next solar system? I don't know, but it seems to me that even then they couldn't reach into that very material civilization, but very material system, intellectual system, and even if they were on the Buddhic plane at that time, it would have been for them impossible to reach down into the material system, because that link had not really occurred. And is it possible that the, well, of course, there's a problem here. I mean, if there's a problem because, you know, where were the five Kumaras, as they are called, or the five liberated hierarchies? They would have, in a way, had to have focused on some very high planes. So maybe we will, I just don't know. We will need the seven planes there somehow. If they were to liberate themselves and enter this solar system on the cosmic astral plane, we're going to run out of planes if we have to find planes for these five liberated hierarchies. You kind of wonder then whether the... you do wonder whether the fifth creative hierarchy, the Cancerian veiling the Christ hierarchy, didn't find its place on the mental plane, systemic mental plane, of the previous solar system, and now finds itself trying to reach the fifth or lowest, the lowest subplane of the cosmic astral plane, but can't quite make it. Not quite yet. All right, maybe, you know, it said the proper study of mankind is man. So we're a little bit beyond our proper study, wouldn't you say? At the same time, however, we will find ways to link these studies to the development of the human being here. They were too sinless and too holy to find opportunity in that very material civilization. We don't know what plane they belong to. Okay, and I'm going to hear... Oh, no, I've done it again. Okay. Okay, friends, well, that's one train of thought that was lost due to a technical error and also somebody coming in at the door. But we don't know the plane on which this second group found itself in the previous solar system. They were sinless even then. They were far above man even then. Were there five planes in the previous solar system, nine in the system to come? As we said, we don't know, because there were five liberated hierarchies, and what were their planes in the previous system that would allow them to be liberated onto the cosmic astral plane? So they had to have been in advance even of these hierarchies. Now, if these hierarchies were too sinless to break into that very material solar system, they had to have been above the three lower worlds at that time. And then was there room for the other hierarchies that have made their way onto the cosmic astral plane? Anyway, group consciousness is involved here. We talked about the second subplane of the mental plane giving response to group vibration. So up on a higher and monadic level, there is also that second ray ability to impart the nature of group consciousness, and that is the quality of the seven heavenly men. Let's just say the quality of the seven heavenly men is called group consciousness, and they are dragons of wisdom, and they have the strong second aspect influence. Okay. But not being able to express themselves fully, even now. Some clue as to this mystery will come if the student bears in mind that in our own seven planes, we have only the physical body of the Logos, and his higher emotional, mental, and still higher principles cannot yet express through our etheric physical plane. Something of the mental vibration of the Logos, just a part of the Logos, is being expressed by these beings. We can say, maybe I'll change the color here, that let's say that just a part of the solar logos's energies are being expressed by these two hierarchies. One, the mental part, and the other, the astral part. So that's an important hint about the cosmic astral nature. And again, the Great Bear does seem to be involved. You know, in a way, I think it's cosmic atmic being, but there is the sense in which it is connected with the heart aspect here. Okay. And now just a little more. Well, we talked about the types of forces. But this is important, some aspect of the relative point in evolution of the solar logos. Now, what is that point? What is that point? That point is as a cosmic initiate of the second degree who has not yet achieved cosmic mental, let's see how this works, cosmic mental polarization, and certainly not the third degree. Third degree. Okay. From studying the various aspects of force which he is demonstrating in this particular incarnation, and this means to study the creative hierarchies. The creative hierarchies and the unfoldment of his planets and their chains. Okay. Now, I'm thinking that these, et cetera, et cetera, is the energy which drives... Now, this I didn't comment on sufficiently. It is this energy which drives the monads through into physical incarnation, for it makes itself felt on the seventh plane. I talked about the seventh plane, but driving force of the seven stars of the Great Bear behind the driving of the monads into physical incarnation. The seven of the Great Bear ensure that it will reach, these monads will reach the lowest plane. They do reach the lowest plane by taking to themselves various permanent atoms, and through their agent, the solar, they take to themselves the permanent atoms even before the solar angel is in the picture. Not the mental unit, but the permanent atoms. They take to themselves five permanent atoms, and the mental unit arises in its own right through, as we are told, instinct approximating mentality. So these creative hierarchies demonstrate which energies the Logos has unfolded, but more will unfold in the next solar system. And they have been involved. We might say these creative hierarchies have been, have been involved with the solar logos in his previous incarnations. Just reviewing here, you know. And gaps will necessarily occur, gaps in any causal body. okay. There are gaps in any causal body, including that of the solar logos. All right. Now, going on, let me just check something here for a moment. Yeah, okay. It is the energy of this hierarchy, whose numbers are 2 and 7, as we've seen, which result in the manifestation of the divine energy. Now, how does this happen? Let's just say the deva and human kingdoms merge on the monadic plane. And so the divine androgene is the divine hermaphrodite, and Hermes representing man, and Aphrodite representing the solar angels. Hermes and Aphrodite merge. Now I wonder if I can find that in, okay, let's go over here, and we'll go back to Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and we'll say, well, maybe it's not in Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Let's see, Devas, Deva, human, merge. And let's see, monadic, Devas. I know that this exists. Deva and human evolutions, okay. Monadic merge. Okay. So, what I wanted to say here, notice this, and it is in the vegetable kingdom that we find one of the first and temporary approximations between the evolving human monad and the evolving deva monad. Notice that, of course, the vegetable kingdom is really an aspect of the human monad. This is what I've been trying to say. It's you look at the vegetable kingdom, it's really man. The mineral kingdom is man. The animal kingdom is man, really, the fourth creative hierarchy. The approximation between the evolving human monad and the evolving deva monad, the two parallel evolutions touch in that kingdom, then again follow their own paths, finding their next point of contact on the fourth or Buddhic level, where they apparently harmonize. In another reference, this says, and a final merging on the second plane. That's the one that I definitely wanted to point out. The final merging on the monadic plane. Okay. Right. I want to make this bigger. Now, if we go over here, the divine androgene is the human and deva merging on that plane. So what I'm going to do is copy this. They find their group unity. Okay, well, even more. The two great evolutions, human and deva, find their group unity on the Buddhic plane, and portions of their hierarchies blend and merge so as to form the body of the divine hermaphrodite. A definite and permanent alliance can be seen. These are the two references I wanted, and I'm going to transfer them over to here so we get an idea, and then make them smaller, much smaller, and green, as I tend to do these days. So here's the greening of this reference, and trebuchet, and number 10. That's good enough. All right, so there is this, with the second creative hierarchy, the fusion involving second ray, fusion of opposites. Okay, so let's just say to fuse deva and human is the fusion of the pairs of opposites. And in the seven centers of force, which are the seven spiritual energies. Now, this is important. It is the energy of this hierarchy which produces, which results in the manifestation of the divine androgene, which is, in a way, the dual monad, Atma-Buddhi, in a way, and in the seven centers of force. So, from the monadic plane comes that vorticular motion, Fohat-like, which churns the lower matter into chakras. So it is from the monadic plane that this churning actually occurs. From the monadic plane, probably from the third aspect of the of the monad, this I think I can get rid of that now. This vorticular motion comes forth and produces the seven lower chakras, the seven spiritual energies through lower chakras on each plane. The seven spiritual energies of the monad appearing in chakras on each plane. And as I've said before, when you don't see chakras on the buddhic or the atmic plane, they are there because 35 vortices of force or vortices of fire make the master. So there are going to be seven on each plane, especially once the causal body is disappearing. There'll also be seven on the mental plane. But of course, if we don't, if a master carries the Maya Varupa, then those seven appear. If he retracts or somehow dissolves his Maya Varupa, then the potentials to generate those chakras in the vehicles would be reabsorbed into the factors in the spiritual triad, which are generating those chakras. I mean, in other words, there is a great center of force. The monad is basically generating those chakras, and the monad is in the triadal realm at the fifth degree, focusing in Atma Buddhi, and from that place the chakras can be generated in a Maya Virupa. But for those masters who carry that Maya Virupa, the vortices are already in manifestation, and then indeed 35 vortices of force will make the master who appears through the Maya Virupa. Okay, so the divine androgene, in other words, the blending of the pairs of opposites, is almost as if there's a Gemini factor going on, a Gemini factor uniting the two kingdoms, Deva and human, on the monadic plane. Well, okay. I never like to let it go. I like to, as they say, you know, squeeze blood out of a turnip or water out of a turnip. It's really hard to do. but I think if one sits on something long enough, it does begin to hatch. So, you know, if you look at the actual ideas that have been gotten together, the divine builders, they're called conferrers of soul, and they are related to desire, the burning suns of desire, related to the cosmic astral plane. They somehow try to express the cosmic astral nature of the solar logos. Their numbers, as you see, are 7 and 2. Virgo is the sign. We have kind of a higher sphinx up here. It's not just higher mind and lower mind. It's the logoic and monadic planes. Jupiter is the planet, which is the hierarchical ruler of Virgo. The color is blue, so often associated with Jupiter, sometimes a little bit of a violet tint. Kriya Shakti, the materializing of the ideal. The ideal is formed there as a pattern. And as the monads are driven forth by this hierarchy into incarnation, they carry that pattern, that purpose, and they do materialize it on the lower five subplanes, and all the way down to the seventh plane. This is called the plane of ether. It's sometimes called the plane of Akasha. It's called the monadic plane. I wonder, and sometimes this plane, the fifth, is called the aether, and this is called the ether. This is a strange term here. I have noticed it called the Akasha. It's peculiarly related to sound and to the patterns, archetypal patterns, which sound makes. But in the beginning was the word, you know, and even on the egoic plane, I think the word must be sounding forth in an even greater manner. I saw just the other night this amazing thing. Of course, you've seen it, I'm sure. They take one of these vibrating sort of a surface and put it on a sound generator that generates various frequencies, and it's just extraordinary the patterns that are formed as you change the pitches. They do hold the secret to the idea that God geometrizes. And one day those patterns can be analyzed in relation to the pitches. The wonder of the new age will truly be astonishing, I think. And it's nothing like we can conceive whatsoever at this point. So going on just a little, reluctantly leaving the second creative hierarchy behind, the third creative hierarchy, or the eighth, counting from the liberated hierarchy Pisces above, is a peculiarly interesting one. They are called the triads, also called the triple flowers, for they hold in themselves the potencies of triple evolution, mental, psychical, i.e. Buddhic in a way, and spiritual. We're ascending there from the mental plane of the triad to the Buddhic or psychical to the spiritual. These triads of life are inherently the three persons of the Trinity. I suppose they are influenced by the three persons of the Trinity who surround the Logos, and are also found on the logoic plane in some manifestation, and the flower of the earlier system from a certain angle. They are also, they were not liberated, but they flowered forth. Whoa, I wonder. Makes me wonder. Were these the correspondences of solar angels responsible for flowering in the previous solar system? I know that we didn't have the intervention of the solar angels, but still, and maybe in the previous system the solar angels were not called in, but every time I think of the word flowering, I think of the egoic lotus, or if not connected with the solar angels, were they connected at least with the egoic lotuses of that system? For some have come into our system from the previous system directly with petals unfolded. So the idea of flowering is not foreign. In other words, you can still, F-O-R-E-I-G-N. So you can still have flowering without solar angels. Those who were, who are now the solar angels were men, and these higher ones may have been somehow involved in promoting a triple flowering of lotuses at that time. Maybe somehow the correspondences or some kind of analogy to solar angels. They certainly have a close connection now, because we're told that when you reject these triple flowers, these triads, you're rejecting the Christ, basically, and you are precipitated into the eighth sphere. So, you know, it's also in a way true that when you reject the solar angels of our present system, you are rejecting the Christ force. They have a close connection, this third and the fifth. Now, obviously, one has to go over all of this stuff very carefully. From another angle, when studied as the flower of the earlier eight, they are the eightfold points awaiting opportunity to flame forth. I would say somehow connected with Mercury and its number eight. Now, what were the earlier eight? Were these hierarchies in the previous solar system? Were there 12, or were there eight? And what, you know, actually, what is the eight? The eight is a number connected with mentality, but also with the Christ force. The Christ force was not so prominent in the previous solar system. They are the devas who are ready for service. This means they are active because associated with the third aspect of divinity and the third ray, which is to give to another hierarchy certain qualities which are lacking. Does this hierarchy give to the fourth creative hierarchy, the human creative hierarchy? This hierarchy is regarded as the great donors of immortality, whilst themselves standing aloof from incarnation. How do you give immortality? Do you rescue from the cyclic effect of form and form obscuration? Maybe. While standing aloof from incarnation, they do not incarnate. Notice they are not the solar angels. Are not the solar angels. Why? Because the solar angels have incarnated in a sense. Why? As they say, having pervaded the entire universe with a fragment of myself. So the solar angels have incarnated in a lower, quote, universe. They are lords of sacrifice and love, but they cannot pass out of the logoic etheric body into the dense physical body. Where in the logoic etheric body are they particularly located? Let's just say they are particularly located in relation to the atmic level. Even man, the monad, well, he does descend, and so do the solar angels. The solar angels altogether don't seem to really have their place. When we're told that they have a place on the mental plane, that's not their true place. The true place seems to be on the Buddhic level, but even that seems sacrificial, because if you think about it, they've already passed out of our solar system altogether. Maybe because in our solar system we're adding more planes or having more vibratory dimensions which have to be mastered. Even if they passed out of the solar system in the previous solar system, they had to come back in some way and focus on our cosmic physical plane. But maybe that's simply an act of sacrifice. There's an awful lot of could-be, maybes, perhapses, you know. it's the name of the game here until something more definitive can be given by Master DK or some messenger of the hierarchy. He's given us enough to try to make the pieces come together, but, well, you know, I'm not going to continue to complain about the impossibility of really doing that. This hierarchy wields the third aspect of electric force. Note, this may not be the same as cosmic electricity, as found for the first hierarchy, or the first type of cosmic energy. Ah, there's a mystery here, you know. The atomic plane, of course, is in a way plane number one, and there's nothing here about, it's as if, what I see here, electric force relates to the cosmic physical plane, whereas what's called cosmic electricity is certainly beginning on the cosmic astral plane, or higher, but at least it seems to begin on the cosmic astral plane. So let's see what we have here. We have a treatise on cosmic fire, and we're on page, 1198 or so. So here we have the sixth type of cosmic electricity. It starts counting from the cosmic astral plane and from the hierarchies found thereon. But over here, when we go to hierarchy number three, it's the third aspect of electric force. It's not the same as cosmic electricity because the numbering has begun on the first plane. Oh, so it's the third aspect of cosmic electric force of the first type of cosmic energy. Now, this is the first time cosmic energy has been used. We had before electric force and what else? Electric force. And the first aspect of the sixth type of electric force is all within cosmic. First aspect, the sixth type of cosmic electricity. That's for the first one. And then each is different, and I'm sure that the mystery of electricity is wrapped up in these statements. The second type of force, the second aspect of the seventh type of force from out the many, is that cosmic electricity. Now when we get down to the type of force wielded in the third creative hierarchy, we have a triple energy, the third type of electric force of the first type of cosmic energy. And I think, what must it be? There must be a resonance between the atmic plane, which is the first Brahmic plane, and the first type of first type of cosmic energy. Now, I'm not even going to try to say what these are. I'm reminded just a little bit of the way in the fusion formulas of the esoteric psychology, the first ray fusion has a second ray effect. Second ray fusion has a third ray effect. Third ray fusion has a first ray effect. So again, we have the numbers 3 and 1. The numbers 3 and 1 reminiscent of the fusion formula. Numbers 3 and 1 reminiscent of the fusion formula for the third ray. Well, they are active. They stand for a recurrent cycle of that first type, symbolized by the number 8. Well, they are the eighth creative hierarchy and the first Brahmic hierarchy. They are the eighth creative hierarchy. No. The creative hierarchy and the first Brahmic hierarchy. So they are the representing the first aspect of the Brahmic aspect. The formula for these electrical energies are too complicated to be given here, but the student should bear in mind that these hierarchies express septenary cosmic energy. So this was mentioned for the first time under the third. Mentioned for the first time under the third creative hierarchy. Cosmic prana, which I suppose relates to the cosmic etheric planes, and solar energy, or electric fire, solar fire, and fire by friction. So, interestingly, he is confining electric fire, solar fire, and fire by friction to the domain of the solar logos. You kind of wonder whether there aren't higher versions of this. So maybe septenary cosmic energy, it probably comes from the seven cosmic planes. Nope, seven, that's no good. The seven cosmic planes. Cosmic astral, and so there is the first type of cosmic energy. I wonder if it's coming all the way from the very highest plane or working then through our logoic plane and eventually coming here into the systemic atmic plane. Cosmic prana. So in other words, there's energy coming from the cosmic planes. There's energy coming from the prana of the cosmic ethers. Right. I'm just the prana of the cosmic ethers, yes. And there is energy coming from the solar logos as he distributes electric fire, solar fire, and fire by friction on what levels? On the cosmic physical plane or on all planes? He's giving a hint to some fifth ray initiate of the future to grasp this. There's quite a bit said here about hierarchy number three, and I want to backtrack just a little bit because I went over it in a way too quickly. Peculiarly interesting one, triads, and I want to give the other name for it, the triple flowers. And I also want to turn to this hierarchy and say that they're called lesser builders. They confer form because form begins, well, let's just say they confer form as it relates to the five lower worlds. They confer form in the world of Brahma. They are a flowering forth of a previous solar system which expressed the third ray powerfully. Okay. Libra, a great third ray sign, is their sign. Their planet is Saturn, color green, all fits. It's the power of knowing, the power of knowledge. And they have about them the force of mind linking them to the previous solar system. Their element is water. And sometimes with Capricorn we learn of the one who crosses the water. Water is matter, and matter is particularly related to Brahma and the five lower planes. I had a better solution, though, on that earlier, lost in the earlier esoteric astrology commentaries. Fire air, fire earth. Yeah. It was this, in the solar logoic way of measurement. If we begin with the, somehow considering the highest or logoic plane to be the Buddhic plane, in relation to the solar logos, we have vibration, light, sound, and color. We have four colors. The colors are yellow, orange, blue, and violet. If you look at the the map on which is number eight, chart number eight. Basically, for man, you have Buddhic yellow, mental orange, astral blue, the blue of water, and violet, the seventh ray. If you look at the solar logos, you'll have yellow on the first plane, orange on the second, the complement of blue, interestingly enough, blue on the third, the blue of the water, and then violet connected with the with, in a way, the etheric level here, fourth ether of the Buddhic plane, the plane from which manifestation occurs, because the great lotuses are found on that level who bring about manifestation, just the way the lotuses over here on the fourth level bring about manifestation. So we have, in a way, the water of matter, and we have the water connected with the blue. I'm still missing something, which I had earlier, but I just have to let it go. So this is the chart description of this group of lesser builders, who are the builders in Brahma, we might say, the Brahmic builders. I'd like to call them that. Let's call them this here, okay? Brahmic builders, building actively with intelligence on the lower five systemic planes. All right, they are called the triads, right? For they hold in them, and I believe they. Let's just put it like this: just as the members of the creative hierarchy too are not the monads, so these lives are not the spiritual triads. Spiritual triad of man. They are much higher. And they express through, I think, aggregations of triads. And somehow provide the vehicles for human triadal expression. They hold themselves the potencies of triple evolution, mental, psychical, and spiritual, and I would say also reflected in the lower worlds, but mental, psychical, and spiritual evolution of the personality of the monad, which the spiritual triad is. These triads of life, notice the first aspect here, and think of the kind of electricity that, or energy it's expressing later. These triads of life are inherently the three persons, so let's say related to the three persons of the logoic trinity, expressing three aspects through the higher personality of the monad and the lower personality of the soul. Okay. Were there I don't want to misspell that. Were there 12 or were there 8? Okay. Aspects. And here I'm running into... Okay. At least you have a chance to look at these things while I'm pondering them. All right, were there 12 or were there 8? Okay. Through the higher, they express, they are not aspect, they express through the higher personality or of the monad, the spiritual triad, or the lower personality of the soul, man's personality per se. At least they are the higher energies which are reflected in the lower personality expression. They are the devas, and notice they are devas. This is very interesting. Of course, DK once said, whoop. He didn't say whoop, I say whoop. Okay. They are the devas, and I want to say, DK once said, man is a deva, who are ready for service, they are active. Active because associated with third aspect divinity. They're ready for service, which is to give to another hierarchy, and let's just say, which, certain qualities, which are lacking. So what are those qualities? Are they the higher three, which qualities are lacking? Okay. Which are lacking? Do these lacking qualities relate to the three aspects, aspect of divinity? Maybe. The solar angels give certain qualities which are lacking, but maybe these qualities are conferred upon the human monads, which are lower than these triads or triple flowers. Human monads are not lower than their own spiritual triads, but they are lower than the triple flowers. This hierarchy is regarded as the great donors of immortality. Let's just say, once we enter the world of the spiritual triad at the fourth initiation, we are immortal from the human perspective. So if you accept those triads, you achieve your immortality, you avoid the many changes of form that bring apparent death. You avoid the many changes of form which bring apparent death by accepting the triads, I suppose, via the Antikarana. And they stand aloof from incarnation, at least in the, they have fallen once, let's say, have fallen once, but not into the dense physical body of the solar logos. Lords of sacrifice and love are they, even though connected with the third ray, but notice, connected with Libra, which is also a third ray sign. But they cannot pass out of the logoic etheric body into the dense physical body. This third hierarchy wields the third aspect of electric force. And we discussed this, of the first type of cosmic energy. Oh, goodness. They stand for the recurrent cycle of that first type, symbolized by the number 8. And we want to ask, recurrent in what way? They formulate for these, for these electrical, yeah, the formulae for these electrical energies are too complicated to be given here, but the student should bear in mind that these hierarchies express. And we talked about a septenary cosmic energy coming from the cosmic planes, cosmic prana coming from the etheric aspect of the cosmic physical plane, and solar energy, which manifests on all the seven planes. Okay, so this manifests on all the seven stemic planes. And I want to do this seven systemic subplanes and seven systemic. Okay. The seven systemic planes. I'm going to make that. Seven systemic planes. Okay, so where are we? Well, we're almost to the point where we should quit this particular program. Each hierarchy manifests a triple energy, or an aspect of each of the above. Each of the above creative hierarchies, I suppose. And that necessitates a ninefold differentiation. For the first two is triple, are triple, as is the third. How many fold is the hierarchy of solar angels? Or the hierarchy of man? We have a nine here, reminiscent of the ninefold choice of rays of the spiritual triad, TCF 177. So there is a nine connected. There is an important nine connected with the combination of these first three manifested creative hierarchies. It is the rejection of the triadal lives by the units of the fourth hierarchy, you know, and they are, in a way, above the units of the triadal lives are above the fourth creative hierarchy, so they're trying to donate something to the fourth creative hierarchy, those monads, that of the human monads, which precipitates a man eventually into the eighth sphere. Let's say going to hell does not happen all at once. Maybe not. But eventually he refuses to become a Christ, a savior, and remains self-centered. So let's just say the big opportunity to evade self-centeredness is given by this creative hierarchy. One should become cosmically centered, and not even too much in one's own causal body. There are some members of the Black Lodge who are found on the higher mental plane. Presumably they have not destroyed the causal body, but are using it in some interesting negative way. He says it's very rare, but they are by far the most powerful. We have dealt with the first three hierarchies, which are regarded as ever seeing the face of the ruler of the deep, so oriented towards the solar logos, or planetary logos, or as being so pure and holy that their forces are in realized contact with their emanating source, and this is primarily the solar logos. Okay, friends, what I'm going to do is say, I'll just make this a one program. This is the end of Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries, number 4A, page, we're almost to 1200, page 1199, and this is the beginning of Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries, 5A, page 1199. All right. We'll have to do a little reviewing here, I think. When we get started again, I'll just make a note to myself, review some of the foregoing on Creative Hierarchy number 3. Meanwhile, that's it for the moment, and what a subject. Whoa. But we're stretching into areas where our mind and our interest has not gone before. All right, friends, that'll be it, and we'll see you when we next see you. All the best.